Good morning and welcome to our political forum here on KBBS and the Bighorn Mountain Radio Network. This morning I'm speaking with Johnson County Assessor candidates Cindy Barlow in studio, Carmen Knutson in studio, and Bettina Nimick declined our invitation to be here today. So we'll jump right into it. We're going to start with 1 minute opening statements from each. We will then get into the Q&A portion. I'll ask questions. Each candidate will have up to 2 minutes to answer, and then we will finish with a 1 minute closing statement. So for our opening statements, Cindy Barlow, we'll start with you. You have 1 minute for an opening statement.
Well, good morning, Brady, and thank you for having us here today. Thanks to KBBS for offering this forum and this opportunity to speak to everybody and share with everyone why we want to run for county assessor. I've been your assessor for the last 8 years. I love Johnson County. I've got a lot of things going on right now that are really important to Johnson County that I'd like to finish. I take personally the work that I've done the last 8 years, take responsibility for it. I've built a strong team that is all certified. They hold their appraisal license. They know what they're doing. They're educated, and we work very solid with all the other offices within the courthouse. I look forward to this opportunity to serve another 4 years for Johnson County, and I hope that you will consider voting for Cindy Barlow, Johnson County Assessor for 2018.
All right, and Carmen Knutson, 1 minute opening statement.
Hi, I'm Carmen Knutson, and thank you very much for inviting me, and hopefully I don't screw up too bad on this. Now, I'm a lifelong resident of Johnson County. I grew up ranching and took over a ranch for about 7 years, and I've been self-employed either by ranching or contract labor all my life. And I would do my best to try and do the best that a person can do and as the assessor.
Okay, we'll jump into the Q&A portion now. I'll ask a question. We will rotate who goes first. We're going to start with Cindy Barlow with question number one. Cindy, why did you decide to run for re-election?
Well, Brady, I believe that I kind of addressed that a little bit in my opening statement. I love Johnson County. I have worked very hard this last 8 years to bring uniformity and equality to our data. That has happened. We have set a standard in the assessor's office that is recognized across the state, and I'm very proud of that. We're educated, all of us. Before I ever came into office, I held my appraisal license, and I was able to set my own values from the beginning, and I'm proud of that. To be able to take responsibility for your work, I think, is key in this position. There's a lot of things coming before us in the future with Johnson County and with taxes. As we see this tax base begin to change, I can tell you that there are certain things within the Wyoming State Legislature that I would like to be able to address. I've created those relationships, and they take seriously when I speak on those issues, whether it's from oil and gas appraisal, from the discounted cash flow models to our elderly and what they're looking at with higher taxes and how they're going to be able to adjust to that in the future. I'd like to be able to address some of those things with the legislature. Moving forward in this next 8 or 4 years, I believe that we'll be able to accomplish a lot of those. I sit on the legislative committee. I'm the president of the personal property committee, and we've got a lot of things that are setting precedents across the state that I've been participating in for the last 4 years. So I hope you consider voting for me on August 21st.
All right. And Carmen, why did you decide to run for county assessor?
Well, I was asked a couple of years ago and sat back and thought real strong and hard if I really wanted to even pursue a running. And just started listening to people telling me more and more of complaints and all across the board, not just one entity. And I took the first class in December, the Assessor 101 class, passed it, and decided it was something that I wouldn't mind doing.
All right, we'll jump into the next question. We'll start with you, Carmen, on this one. What are major challenges and problems you faced in your last position, and how can they relate to being the assessor?
My last position is what? As being in the oil and gas, or?
Yeah, whatever position you have, whatever job.
Okay. I'm an abstractor in the oil and gas field, and what that entails is you're looking to see who all owns the minerals, the surface, and leases, and that can get pretty minuscule. You start at the patent, which is the warranty deed that the government gave to the very first individual, and you read every legal document up until present, and you keep track of all the transactions, and like I said, they can get pretty minuscule. And I know how to read maps, make maps, and not that the assessor does a whole lot of that, but it is a step up on just knowing how to read the legal documents and understanding them.
All right, now we'll move on to Cindy. Cindy, some major challenges and problems you faced in your last position, how can they relate to being the assessor?
Well, I think I can relate that to being the assessor the last 8 years. What's really important moving forward is that, especially under our oil and gas, we're looking at a new point of valuation called a discounted cash flow method. That's going to be something that has and sets a precedent on our values in the future. The Department of Revenue is looking at this model very strongly to be able to value our oil and gas assets in the Powder River, well, actually across the state. And I want to be a very active participant within that. As far as anything within a past position of which I've held, I was in corporate oil and gas prior to coming to becoming your assessor. As we move forward in our assessment for taxes, there's so much to be aware of what's going on. And like I said before, I've already created those relationships that will allow us to have a strong foothold in Johnson County if I'm representing you.
All right, and we will move on to our next question. And Cindy, you will start with this one. What do you believe are the most important functions of the county assessor?
Number one is uniform and equal assessments to everybody. There's no favoritisms provided in the assessor's office in Johnson County. Everybody in my database is treated exactly the same as the others. When you hear about complaints being had, you can't be in this position and not make somebody upset. As you are dealing with current market values, you have to be within 5% of a current market. With that being said, all the parcels that have sold have to be within that percentage, and so do the parcels that are unsold. So this is more than just changing a few buttons within the computer. It is a very intense and intricate point of assessment through mass appraisal, and it is statistical analysis that requires an attention to detail to understand and to be able to interpret those statistics.
All right, and Carmen, same question. What do you believe are the most important functions of the county assessor?
Well, I agree with Cindy. You have to have fairness and equality straight across the board, and a balance between the neighboring similar or alike properties, and just keeping everything straight up above. You know, if someone comes in with a question, showing them exactly all the criteria that you had to use for their property, and absolute transparency. Absolutely no favoritism or anything, discrimination, anything along those lines. And just be as fair and equal as possible and keep it in as balanced as a person can.
All right, we'll move on to our next question. We'll start with Carmen on this one. Do you plan to promote any changes to existing taxes, and if so, why?
Oh, I don't know that you can change a whole lot on the taxes, if I'm understanding your question correctly, because there are the Wyoming state statutes that you have to follow. There is some leeway. One of the things that I would like to see changed, I doubt if it's possible, would be to have another classification between residential and ag. Again, that would be something that the Wyoming legislature and governor would have to approve. It would be cool if there was, instead of such big acreage being assessed as residential when someone elects not to run cattle or something like that on it.
And Cindy, same question. Do you plan to promote any changes to existing taxes, and if so, why?
Well, I'd have to tell you that right now, the way that the taxes are set in Johnson County, they are by statute. They're fair, they're equal. When it comes to agriculture, agriculture does have the two separate classes of ag and residential, but it's important to remember that those homes that are sitting on an ag parcel are assessed exactly like the homes that are in town. That's a part of the uniformity and the equality. That's a part of your statistical analysis. So to be able to have a separate class would be unconstitutional. As far as promoting anything, the thing, Brady, I think I would like to see most is this last year, the legislature is really stuck against falling revenues across the state, and they had to take away the elderly program that allowed a discount on their taxes if they were below a certain level of income. I would like to see what we could do to be able to bring a program like that back so that they can actually see a reduction in their tax, but because they're of a low income level. When you talk to people who their total annual income is $15,000 and their taxes are $800 of that $15,000, that's a significant impact on their overall budget. So I'd like to see something like that come into play and to see if we couldn't work with our legislatures and make that happen.
And Cindy, we'll start with you here. You mentioned statistical analysis a couple times. How good are you with a statistical analysis and abstraction, and how have you used it in past experiences?
That's a deep question and a complicated one to be able to explain here. But I can tell you that my statistics are so accurate that almost all of my land models are within 1 to 2% of total accuracy. Some of them are 100% spot on. So my land models are very sensitive. I can tell when we have over-assessed a home, and that's when I send my team back out to get the data right. As we get the sales that allow us to analyze those neighborhoods of where the sales have occurred, my data is almost perfect. And I don't want to sound so bold there, but we've worked very hard in making sure that Johnson County is sitting in the best possible place with taxes being fair.
And Carmen, same question. How good are you? What experience do you have with statistical analysis and abstraction?
Well, as I kind of explained earlier, being an abstractor for the oil and gas, that you have to know exactly. There cannot be any error. I mean, that's a lot of money to some people. And I've learned how to do all that and would keep doing that.
All right, move on to our next question here. Carmen, we'll start with you. What is your experience with preparing and authorizing budgets?
Well, again, when I was in the ranching world, I had to prepare my own balance statements, and you have to know exactly how much you're going to spend compared to how much you're bringing in. You learn a lot doing that, and you can't rely on anyone else. So I had 7 years of that with the ranch, and that's everyday life stuff. I mean, I do that every day on balancing my checkbook that's pretty easy.
Same question for Cindy. What is your experience with preparing and authorizing budgets?
Well, I've prepared budgets for the last 8 years for my office. I'm proud to say that we've been able to really maintain a strong and even a reduced budget almost every single year that I've been in office. This year during our budgetary process, I was the only one there participating. For having candidates running against me, I didn't have anybody coming in and trying to understand what were some of the issues going on within, you know, the office itself and what was going on with our budget and how we have to adjust with this falling valuation. I've made a point that my budget actually sits at a 2005-2006 budgetary expenditure, so therefore I've tried to cut my budget back to what our valuation was in 2005 and 6. I think being fiscally responsible and understanding how money is spent and how it's being used is imperative, and it's going to be even more imperative as we move forward.
All right, we'll move on to our next question here. Cindy, we'll start with you. How important is educational requirements for you and your staff?
This is not an entry-level position. This is something that you want to be educated coming in. You want to understand and have a strong understanding of statistical math and how that plays out. You want to be able to have, and the overall appraisal background is great, and those beginning courses are wonderful in being able to define how you would structure a neighborhood and how those homes compare to each other. But in ad valorem taxation, where it's a statistical analysis, you are actually analyzing sales and you're within a certain percentage of that. So abstraction, kind of reverting back to that last question slightly, is the ability to be able to take out the improvement from the land value and to look at the difference of what that means to the overall sales price, not just looking at land legals and being able to understand what the legal is to the property. So as we move forward, it's important that education is a primary requirement for anybody working within the assessor's office, and we do keep up with a continued education for all of our staff members to maintain their license and to be able to set your values. So if you do not hold an appraisal license, you cannot set the values. One of the other employees will have to set the values for a new assessor coming in until they're certified. So education is imperative.
And same question for you, Carmen. How important is educational requirements for you and your staff?
Oh, extremely. You've got to know what you're doing and be able to know how to apply it. But there are classes out there. I've already taken the first one and passed it. I'm sure that there's lots of people that aren't appraisers certified before they take office. You do have courses that will teach you how to do that, and follow-up courses. And plus, I mean, that's why you have staff, is to help out and to learn from, and them to learn from you too.
All right, we'll move on to our next question. Carmen, we will start with you on this one. What are your qualifications that make you the best candidate for the assessor position?
Oh, that's kind of a tough one. I'm honest. I'm a hard worker. I give everything I have into every job that I've undertaken and do my best. Qualification-wise, being self-employed, I mean, that kind of shows that you're determined and, I don't know, you just put everything into it. I'm not really quite answering your question exactly because I'm not in the assessor yet, but just having some of the knowledge that I do on, you know, I've ranched, I own my own house and property, you know, so I have a little bit of experience in a lot of the fields.
All right, Cindy, same question. What qualifications make you the best candidate for the assessor position?
Well, I hold my business degree. I've taken all of the courses and advanced courses within the Office of the Assessor to be able to not only appraise but hold my license for the last 8 years. All of the additional requirements that go along with being able to understand the operating system. Technology is huge in the assessor's office, and to be able to fluidly work through Excel and to understand the statistical database of SBSS and to understand Marshall and Swift and how the overall appraisal process takes place. Again, we're setting a value that the commission later sets a mill levy that taxes you on. So my overall education has been strong. My experience is strong with serving for the last 8 years. We've cleaned a lot of stuff up, and it's just getting better.
All right, that's going to wrap up the Q&A portion. We're going to now go into our one-minute closing statements, and this time we'll start with Carmen Knutson. You have 1 minute for a closing statement.
Oh, thank you very much for taking the time to listen to this, and I appreciate your support on August 21st. Thank you very much.
All right, Cindy Barlow, 1 minute closing statement.
Well, first of all, I would like to say thanks to Carmen. You know, when you get out there and you stick your name on a sign, it takes courage, and it's not an easy process. As we move forward in this election process and moving into this final week, I'm pleased to say that I have a strong woman running against me, and I appreciate the time and effort that she has taken to put things forward. The assessor's office is a difficult office. I look forward to serving you in the next 4 years. I know that I am the best candidate that is out there that understands the issue coming before Johnson County with our protests, finishing up some protests, and then another one that may be going on to the Supreme Court. I hold that knowledge, and I'm willing to make that work hard for Johnson County to the best of Johnson County's interests. And I hope you consider voting for me August 21st. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, I want to thank Cindy Barlow and Carmen Knutson for taking the time today. They're both running for Johnson County Assessor. Get out and vote on August 21st. If you haven't registered to vote yet, please do so. Ladies, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick time out. We will come back as our forums continue today. We'll have Johnson County Coroner Forum coming up next right here on the Bighorn Mountain Radio Network.